insects might as well be aliens because we don't know anything about them. And some of their civilizations work so much more seamlessly than ours. Termites are tremendously gifted artists. The things that they can do are shocking. Ants can communicate on a level that human beings could never understand. Never. Hmm. I mean, they go and they touch their little antenna to each other, and then that one runs along and touches it to another. Now, you could have a couple of crumbs under your couch, and 5 minutes later, you've got 10,000 ants in there. So what are they doing? You say that's not telepathy? They can communicate through the airwaves, and that seems very similar to the way a dolphin can communicate.
I'm going to guess you've become a vegetarian.
I'm very cautious about what I eat. I mean, for all the listeners out there, I think that there's a huge difference between factory farm food. And I'm not saying that it's a wonderful thing to go out and eat a lamb that was standing by the side of the road under the stars with other lambs. That one day in a slaughterhouse is not a pretty thing. But to be able to make the next step so that if you're eating animals that were in factory farms that were tortured every minute of their lives, maybe your next step is to eat free-range meat. If you eat free-range meat, maybe your next step is just to eat fish. I'm not one of those advocates that's going to beat you over the head and say, I know everything, I'm right and you're wrong.
Right.
I'm going to say live within the bounds of your own integrity and compassion. If it bothers you, don't do it. And back to your initial question, all living beings think thoughts in pictures. They all feel feelings. All living beings miss their mates. One of the first things every living creature will say to me is, do you know where my mother is?
Hmm.
The degree of pain that they feel if an elephant is isolated from her mate, if a horse has her baby taken away, is tremendous. And so our underestimation of their scope of emotion is pretty astonishing.
Do you get to the point where you get upset because of the vibrations or whatever you do pick up from an animal?
I have to hold as steady as I possibly can.
Is it difficult?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what are some of the things? Give me an example, for example, of what you felt maybe with an animal in crises.
I'll give you the Buckingham Palace story because it's a really good one.
And this the was, Buckingham Palace.
The Buckingham okay. Palace story. It's the opening to my second book, The Language of Miracles. But when I go in this situation, the British military snuck me into Buckingham Palace to work with the Queen's horses, which was one of the biggest honors of my life. And they took me from horse to horse to talk to the horses and troubleshoot problems with the horses. There was one horse in particular that when I went up to him, the first thing I got was a huge wave of sadness. Now, that's the gateway. You know, that's the opening statement.
Right.
So that's the door that opens. And if you stop there, you're not going to get more information. And if you push the energy and say, okay, well, what caused the sadness? And then you drop into your heart for 1 second. You drop into that silent place and listen. I saw a big bay male horse that was standing next to him. And once you do this long enough, I know this sounds ridiculous, and Ed Mitchell will say, it's not the animal speaking. It's your brain picking up a frequency that's going to turn it into something that you understand. Now, my German students hear animals in German. My Norwegian students hear animals in Norwegian. It's not because the animals are speaking to them. It's that your brain is going to pick up that information and turn it into something that you understand. If you're a more visual person, you're going to get pictures. If you're a musician, you're more likely to hear sound. If you're a writer, you're more likely to pick up things in words. Well, I'm clairaudient. I pick up things in words as well as everything else because I also dance. But for me, as I'm working with this horse and I said, why are you so sad? I see the bay horse standing next to him. That's the visual. I see that the horse has gone away. I hear the name Bernard. Bernard.
Bernard.
And then he says, he's gone up north. They took him away from me. And I was just teaching him the ropes. And we've got to practice on Saturday and tell the head of the military, I love the cat. She's been a huge comfort. The gray and white cat has been comforting me ever since they took Bernard away. He's up in the green hills somewhere. I wish I were up there with him because he's not here for the practice and I really needed him with me. Well, when I told all this to the head of the military, he almost fainted. There was a young bay horse standing next to this horse named Bernard that had been shipped up to Prince Charles Hunting Facility in a northern part of England, which I had no way of knowing that the Queen's horses ever got out of Buckingham Palace. Their practice was for the Queen's Jubilee that Saturday, and there was a gray and white cat that kept dropping in on this horse to cheer him up and spend the night in his stall and keep him company. So after that, they invited me up to Prince Charles Hunting Facility to speak to Bernard and tell him that everything was going to be okay and that he was going to get returned to his friend back in the palace. And come to find out, the horse that I was talking to was the Queen's favorite. He had told me, I'm the Queen's favorite. I'm the head horse. I run the whole show. Everyone answers to me. Well, he was the alpha horse, and he was the head of the Queen's Jubilee parade. But it's just a matter of discipline and trust and being able to be totally present with the animal with all your love. Deepak Chopra calls it the gap between thoughts, where there's no past, there's no future, you're not worrying about things, you're not carrying around all your garbage and negativity. You turn your program off and you go into your heart and you're just with that animal with all your concentration. You know, some scientists say that human beings have a concentration, we can focus for 6 seconds. So I encourage people to meditate and learn how to sit in silence and get into that anchor of light in their own spinal column.
And tell us, Amelia, why it's important to do this.
Because you'll never get to hear the thoughts and feelings or be present for the animals that need you. They frantically need us. Everywhere we go, the animals are so frustrated with the human race. And every single person who's listening has a dog or a cat that wants to talk to them. And if they had known sooner that that cat had cancer or that that dog was in liver failure or that the horse is about to colic, they could save their lives